A few years ago in Canberra, one of the things that we did was we ran a series of sermons, addresses, which I recorded, called The Bible for Atheists. We were asked many questions, which we then answered. So it's very clear to me that when we look at the Bible from a modern perspective, there are many people who take issue with the Bible on a number of points. And I'm sure you can think of them yourself. The place of women in society. Slavery. There's many, many things where we might look back on biblical culture and say they were very, very primitive. How could God justify or command, in some cases, such things? However, today I want to talk about one issue in which I think biblical culture is far in advance of our own society, and that is our treatment of the poor. If we look at what the Lord commands and what he says, there are many, many things where he gives a very direct command, go and give to the poor. But even looking back into the Old Testament, there is provision for the poor in a way that we tend to neglect that today. And you've heard one of them this morning from Leviticus, and it's the concept of gleaning. Now here it is, Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. I like to think of it as a generous inefficiency. In other words, I don't completely gather everything. I leave a little bit behind so that others may take and use it for their need. A generous inefficiency. And doesn't that contrast with our modern attitudes to life? We've seen it in the last week or so play out. I went to the supermarket this week because we needed toilet paper. And I went to the local Woolworths because Coles didn't have any. And I walked in and there was a little supply of toilet paper with a security guard making sure that we only took one each. And there are many things in the last week or so that have been stripped from the shelves. But then we look at business as well. Only in the last couple of days, Qantas have come under fire and have popped up in the media because they are underpaying their staff. As have, in previous weeks, Woolworths and Coles, and I think a number of other large corporations. They have been underpaying their staff and they've been caught out for doing so. So we're very, very good in modern society at looking after number one, underpaying our staff, ripping off our producers. Remember the dollar a litre milk saga? Charging more for less, diluting the goods that I sell. There's so many ways we seem to be better and better at keeping more and more for me and forgetting about everybody else. And in these times, it is so much harder for us then to challenge that and to love our neighbour in the way that we are called to do so. Look, briefly, thinking about this gleaning, this generous inefficiency in the Bible, I just want to pull out three brief lessons to begin with. The reason why that happens, the way that it does, the reason it is commanded in the Word, I think is basically three things. First of all, it is a recognition that I am not the source of the blessings that I enjoy. Everything that I benefit from must be attributed to the Lord. You think about the pursuit of agriculture. Okay, if I am a farmer, I might go and sow seed in the field. I turn the field over and prepare it and all those sorts of things. But do I make the seed grow? I do not. There are other forces at play. And so many aspects of human life are like that. It is a cooperative venture. You know, even if we write God out of the picture for the moment, imagine none of us here believe in God. We still don't make the seed grow. It's not me that does that. And if we talk even about opportunity, business opportunity, I'm not responsible for the business opportunities that I take advantage of. They are attributable to somebody else or something else. Even if we call it fate, they are not my doing. I am not the source of the blessings which I enjoy. And that is the first thing that I learn from this idea of gleaning. The second thing is to trust in the Lord's provision for me. We do at least know, even if we think I'm a rich man because of my own work, we are at least sensible enough to realize that the future is uncertain and I have no control over the future. Unfortunately, the way we all recognize that is what? Panic buying. I must amass things to support myself in the future. I must gather all of these goods and then I will be secure and I will be safe. But that's not the way we are to react. Nevertheless, we do generally acknowledge that the future is uncertain. Our job is to rely upon the Lord and His provision for us. My third lesson is about the provision and responsibility to others. Right at the very beginning of that reading Stephen brought us, Leviticus 19, verse 2, it says, "You shall be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Now we might take that and join it to the last part of that reading. And it would say, I provide for you, you go and provide for others. So we are called to model the Lord in some way, provide. So I have a purpose and a responsibility beyond my own survival. I am not an end in myself. And I am not the point of my own existence. Are you a pipe or are you a bucket? What do I mean by that? Well, what's the difference between a pipe and a bucket? The difference is that a bucket holds something. However big your bucket is, it holds a limited quantity. Once that bucket is full, you can put no more in it. A pipe, however, holds nothing. A pipe, its job is to allow something to flow. And if you think about that, how much can a bucket receive? A bucket can only receive as much as it holds. How much can a pipe receive? There's no limit, is there? There is no limit. All a pipe needs to do is let it flow through. And so when we talk about us, are we a pipe or are we a bucket? And I say we are pipes. We receive from the Lord, and what we can receive from the Lord is infinite. As long as it goes through. Now, there is a spiritual meaning to the idea of poverty in the Bible. Here's a passage from Luke chapter 7. And in it, Jesus quotes passages, a variety of passages from the book of Isaiah. And it demands a spiritual understanding of poverty. It demands it. Here, have a listen. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Good news is preached to the poor. Now, if you imagine finding a poor person and you think, what do they need? I'll go and preach to them. How would you be received? Not well, I fear. Not well. It demands a spiritual understanding of poverty. Now, the riches we have are spiritual ones. But they can be just as much a handicap to us as physical riches. We can lose sight of what our knowledge is for. What is the church here for? Now, Swedenborg has an interesting answer to that question. When Swedenborg describes heaven and describes humanity as a whole, he describes the organs of the human body and says that, you know, that the brain corresponds to this and so on, the arms correspond to power. There's many, many correspondences to the body. Do you know which bit is the church? The church is the heart and lungs. The heart and lungs. Now, here's the thing. When he says that, he's not only talking about those two organs, all right? He is talking about the entire circulatory system. That is the church. We are a pipe, if you think about it. And so we must communicate the blessings that are given to us to the rest of the body. We're not here for our own benefit. We are here for the benefit of those around us, for the entire community. The heart and the lungs, if you think about the way they function and they work within the body, they receive the oxygen and the food that they pump through the rest of the body as well. It's not about serving their needs or serving my needs. It's about serving our needs together. What we must understand is that it's never about one or the other. So, you know, we go back to our Leviticus passage. The Lord doesn't say, well, just leave the field, like, you know, sow it but don't reap it. You take what you need, but there is provision for others as well. What can we do? How can we bless others? How can we bring the riches and the blessings that we have and share them? And there might be many, many answers to that question. The answer is not to get a bigger bucket. The answer to our issues and our problems is not to get a bigger bucket. That's the rich fool. You remember the rich fool? He said, oh, I'm getting all of these blessings, too much to put in my barn, I'll get a bigger bucket. It's not what we're called for. We're not called to provide for ourselves until the end of our life in that regard. We're called to share. I wonder if you spotted also the connection between the reading, the Leviticus reading, and the Holy Supper. Let me read again what I read before. 9 and 10. Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. The field and the vineyard, the bread and the wine. The Lord provides it for us but we are channels to carry it out into the world. And interestingly, when Swedenborg talks about our preparation for the Holy Supper and coming to the Holy Supper, he talks about our need to recognize our own poverty. We are to come in an attitude of humility and repentance. It is recognizing our need of the Lord that makes us worthy to receive the gifts that he has to give us. So it's not about coming with riches, it's about coming with poverty. And the Lord makes a wonderful promise to us. Again, I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel. These words only occur in Luke's, and they are some of my favourite. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And I just think it's a lovely, lovely picture. It's the merchant at the market being generous with his goods. You know, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, so that there's no gaps, you know, fills up the gaps as much as possible, and running over, pouring over the top, will be poured into your lap. What a beautiful picture.